WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Man, I am excited about today's show because, folks, it's Wednesday. You know what that means, right? Barbershop Wednesday, yes. And we have an interesting topic for you all today. If you haven't heard, Dan Gilbert, owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers and newly named Pistons, Detroit Pistons head coach Stan Van Gundy, have a little beef going on here. Dan Gilbert made some comments concerning the Detroit Pistons franchise and why they are not in downtown Detroit. You do not want to miss those comments. And our Barbershop Wednesday topic is going to address you all as well, as we encourage you all to call in at 517-355-9527 and weigh in on whether or not the Pistons should be in downtown Detroit. And we're also going to talk about another historic landmark in the city of Michigan when it comes to sports, that being the Pontiac Silverdome. Folks, it is not in good shape. It is not in good shape. I'm sure many of you over the years have made trips down there for numerous events, to watch the Lions, you know, back in the Barry Sanders days, WrestleMania. The Pope even made a visit there, folks. And, folks, if you haven't seen the pictures online, it's just totally in shambles. We'll talk about the demise of the Pontiac Silverdome and how it exactly got to this point. And also talk about anything that's on your noggin. I'll be chatting with Darius Ward as well, some local high school sports action. He is the assistant coach for the DeWitt girls soccer team. And, folks, they are pretty good. We'll sit and chat with Darius in just a sec. All of that and so much more. But before we do, here's Matt Luttke with your current sports quick hit headliners.
I'm Matthew Luttke, and these are your current sports quick hit headliners for Wednesday, May 28th. Nick Saban says MSU didn't want to play at a neutral site. You may recall last fall, Alabama canceled its home-and-home series with MSU set for 2016 and 17 because of uncertainty with the SEC schedule, according to MSU Athletic Director Mark Hollis. Today, Saban told reporters that it has been difficult for the Crimson Tide to schedule out-of-conference games, and that he wants to play all 12 regular season games against teams from the Power 5 conferences. So Jeremy Fowler of CBS Sports asked Saban about MSU, considering the Spartans tried to make a home-and-home series happen. Saban's response, according to Fowler, Saban said he'll play them, but when and where is complicated. Michigan State doesn't want to play a neutral site. Alabama was originally set to play MSU on September 3rd, 2016 in Tuscaloosa and September 2nd, 2017 at Spartan Stadium. Keith Appling is making the rounds in the NBA. Former Michigan State point guard Keith Appling was not present at this month's NBA draft combine, an omission that came as a surprise to some. But that doesn't mean pro teams won't be taking a look at him as they prepare for the June 26th draft. Appling has four workouts scheduled this week and next, according to his agent, Mike Silverman. After a scheduled Tuesday workout with the Phoenix Suns, he's slated to visit the Toronto Raptors, Detroit Pistons, and Minnesota Timberwolves during the next week and a half. On the diamond, the Detroit Tigers took a step back in the right direction last night, snapping a three-game losing streak in Game 2 of a four-game series against the Oakland A's, winning 6-5. Miguel Cabrera and Torrey Hunter each homered for the AL Central leading Tigers. Al Albuquerque pitched one inning for the win, and Joe Nathan worked the ninth for his 12th save in 15 opportunities. The Tigers and A's are back in action tonight at 10:05 p.m. In the NBA, after getting blown out of the first two games of the Western Conference Finals, the Oklahoma City Thunder have roared back to tie the series at 2-2. Russell Westbrook scored 40 points and had 10 assists, while Kevin Durant added 31 of his own, and the Thunder rolled to a 105-92 win in Game 4. Game 5 is set for Thursday night in San Antonio. Keeping things in the NBA, days after reportedly reaching an agreement with his wife to sell the Clippers, embattled owner Donald Sterling is planning to fight tooth and nail to keep his team. Sterling's lawyer said his client, quote, is going to fight to the bloody end, end quote, and disavows any agreement he may have made with his wife, Shelley. Sterling also claims to have received several offers for the Clippers, some exceeding $2.5 billion. Still, Sterling plans to fight the, quote, draconian, end quote, punishment from the league. His hearing with the NBA is set for June 3rd. In the NHL, the Montreal Canadiens live to die another day after a 7-4 win over the New York Rangers in the Eastern Conference Finals. Rene Bourque's hat trick helped the Habs fend off a furious Rangers rally as Montreal squandered a 4-1 second period lead in 8 minutes. New York still leads the series 3-2 with a chance to earn a trip to the Stanley Cup Finals Thursday night in New York. In NFL news, the Aaron Hernandez trial is slowly concluding. Today, Hernandez will be arraigned on 2 counts of first-degree murder in the drive-by shooting deaths of Cefiro Furtado and Daniel D. Abreu in Boston in July 2012. He will also be arraigned on 3 counts of armed assault with intent to murder and single counts of assault and battery with a dangerous weapon and unlawful possession of a firearm. Hernandez is currently being held in jail awaiting trial on first-degree murder charges for the shooting death of Odin Lloyd on June 17, 2013. In actual NFL news, the Dallas Cowboys have lost one of their best defensive players to a serious injury. Linebacker Sean Lee tore his ACL at the team's OTA session and is expected to miss the 2014 season, according to a source who has seen the MRI results. And finally, in tennis, the Williams sisters have both been ousted from the French Open. Serena and Venus were both upset in the second round of the French Open. Serena lost in 2 sets and Venus in 3. The sisters would have met in the 3rd round had they both won. That ends your current sports quick hit headliners for today, May 28th. We will now send it back to Al Martin to kick off the show.
All right, thanks a lot, Matt. Appreciate that. I am hurting right now. Sean Lee, no. Come on, you guys know I'm a big Dallas Cowboys fan, and Sean Lee, man, that's a big hit. I actually had to look at my phone when I got that update yesterday, and I cried for about, you know, 10 or 15 minutes, and I wiped the tears and said, all right, I got to man up and stay positive. Come on, Cowboys. My goodness. Sean Lee, I believe he was hit by a rookie, I think. And this is, I mean, they haven't even put on pads yet, and he tears his ACL. Could be gone the entire year now. Sean Lee, man, anybody but him. I mean, Sean Lee is the man on that team. Oh, gosh. That's depressing stuff. And can we go just one day without seeing Donald Sterling's name? I tell you, he is just, if that's the way he wants to spend his last days on this earth, I guess still fighting this case with the NBA, then hey, so be it, man. He's not going out without a fight, and I guess we can expect more news in the future coming from him. But my goodness, folks. But man, welcome to Current Sports. Again, we have a great show in store for you all today. And we're going to really dive into a topic that, you know, has definitely been brought up over the years here and there, you know, left and right, when you talk about, you know, Detroit professional sports. Because if you look at downtown Detroit right now, you know, you have Detroit Red Wings, of course, that have made their home at Joe Louis Arena for quite some time now. The Detroit Tigers, they've been in Detroit for, you know, forever. You know, downtown Detroit, of course, you know, with Tiger Stadium now at, you know, Comerica Park. The Detroit Lions now, you know, downtown, they made their home at the Pontiac Silverdome, which we'll be talking also about later on in the show with the Pontiac Silverdome and how that venue is just in ruins as we speak. They, of course, are at Ford Field, a beautiful venue. It has already hosted a Super Bowl. And if you look at, you know, there's one team that is still, you know, not downtown Detroit yet. Or I don't know if they ever be downtown Detroit, but we're going to have the discussion on the show today, and that being the Detroit Pistons. And the reason why we're bringing this up is because there were some interesting comments that were made over the past few days when it comes to Stan Van Gundy. Now, Stan Van Gundy, of course, has been named as the newest head coach for the Detroit Pistons, and he's also the president of basketball operations there now, so he's doing double duty in those regards. And he's gotten into it with Cleveland Cavaliers owner Dan Gilbert. Now, the reason why this whole disagreement has ensued is because Dan Gilbert, last week on a radio show called Mojo in the Morning, those of you from the Metro Detroit area or the Detroit area know about Mojo in the Morning. It's a very pretty popular show in Detroit on 95.5 FM. And they actually had Gilbert on the show, and he had some strong comments concerning the Detroit Pistons not being in the city of Detroit. Downtown, I should say. So, just to read a few quotes here, I found these pretty interesting. Quote, if you're going to convince someone like that, and I've said it to him, This is from Stan Van Gundy. Quote, if you're going to convince someone like that, and I've said it to him, long-term for business reasons, that's not a viable place that you're going to have a long-term successful property or venture. Now, this is what Gilbert said, excuse me. Now, quote, people want entertainment, a whole night of it, a whole experience. Detroit doesn't have an NBA team because they're somewhere 30 miles north of here, right? They're in Auburn Hills, right? Again, this is on Mojo in the Morning. Quote, now that Sacramento is building an arena downtown, they are the only one not in an urban core. The only one. It's really not good business. It's nothing against Auburn Hills, Oakland County, or L. Brooks Patterson. An arena in the middle of a field is not an ideal thing. End quote. Again, that's Dan Gilbert, owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers, and his comments on Mojo in the Morning 95.5 FM. So Stan Van, he heard about the comments, really took them personal, and decided to fire back and say, worry about your own team. Van Gundy went on 105.1 FM Detroit and said, quote, Dan Gilbert has some selfish interest for saying what he said. I think we know what those are. Finally, I think he has enough to worry about with his own team than worrying about us. End quote. So, you know, this has been a debate that I've had with many people over the years about whether or not the Detroit Pistons should make the move. Again, they're the only professional team that has not made their home in downtown Detroit. What do you think about that? Again, that's our Barbershop Wednesday topic for today. We'll be taking your calls on it. Pick up that phone and dial 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. For me, I can see both ends of the spectrum here, but I am going to take a solid stand on this because I do believe at the end of the day, if you look at the Pistons and their body of work on the court, that for me has to be a big factor to this. So at the end of the day, again, we're asking you to call in 517-355-9527. Do you think the Detroit Pistons should make that move to downtown Detroit? All right, folks. Well, let's transition to our first segment of the show. We have a great guest in store for you all. Of course, high schools are wrapping up. It's near the end of the season in many sports when it comes to baseball and soccer and golf and so on and so forth. And one of those sports that are in the thick of things when it comes to the postseason is girls soccer. And you know what? We have a pretty good team, multiple teams around the area that are doing pretty good on their road to a possible state championship. Now, it's my pleasure to invite a man who knows firsthand about that Mid-Michigan girls soccer success, Darius Ward, who is the assistant coach for the DeWitt girls soccer team. Darius, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
How you doing, Al? I appreciate you guys bringing me on to the show. I'm doing well, and I'm looking forward to chatting with you about soccer.
Hey, thanks a lot, Darius. We appreciate you for joining me today, man. Really appreciate it. Now, Darius, first, I want to talk about this incredible DeWitt team. Again, Darius is the assistant coach over at DeWitt for the girls' soccer team. Now, they actually won their second CAAC Cup last week with a win over Williamston after 80 minutes of scoreless play. Get this, folks. Abigail Cook became the hero, Superman, or Superwoman, I should say, scoring the winning goal in the penalty kick shootout. How nerve-wracking was that game for you and that DeWitt soccer team, Darius?
Oh, wow. It was very nerve-wracking from the start because we didn't start the game. The game was also a poor start on our part, and give credit to Williamson because they came out to play and we didn't. So it was very, very emotional on our sideline because we thought we were the better team and but we just didn't come out to play. But, you know, in soccer, anything can happen. So going down to PKs and having a freshman goalie in net and not knowing how she was going to perform, you know, being in that situation for the first time, we're just happy to have a senior like Abigail Cook who, you know, under such pressure, which is very common, just place the ball in the corner and give us the victory.
Yeah, it was certainly a thrilling one from what I heard and what I read about that evening. You know, an incredible team. And, you know, for me, when watching soccer, Darius, I actually went out and covered Lansing United not too long ago. Lansing United, of course, the newest minor league soccer team in Lansing, the very first in the area,
right.
Here in mid-Michigan. And, I'm watching it. Of course, it was the opener. A lot of people were packed out there. And the game goes to a 0-0 tie. It ends 0-0. And from a coaching standpoint, of course, in the playoffs, you don't play to a 0-0 tie and things don't just end there like, of course, it happened in that opening game in Lansing United. For you guys being in the postseason, it will go to a penalty kick shootout and you go from there. To keep right. your team calm and abreast in that moment, in a tie, this is for the cup, cup championship. What did you and Coach Jamal Mubarake, what did you guys talk to your team? What did you guys tell them?
Well, we tell the girls about composure. And one thing Coach Jamal is very good at is relaxing the girls, letting them know that whatever happens, if they give their best, that's all we can ask for. And knowing that they're good players and knowing that, the entire, team believes in every girl that is on the team. So, for us, is as coaches, we have to be relaxed, because if we are not relaxed, the players will see that, and obviously that can influence their performance as well. So, as a coach, you have to be calm, and you have to give the belief in your players, and I think that influences their performance on the field.
Yeah, without a doubt. And Darius, in the 7-year history of the tourney, both DeWitt and Williamston has played in the Gold Cup final 4 times. It's unbelievable to me. And face each other in 3 of those times. I mean, how big is this rivalry?
Well, I mean, this is my first year at DeWitt, so I'm still learning the rivalry between both schools. But, I mean, both schools produce great soccer players. And when you put good teams out there, you have a competitive game, and that's how it has been for both schools in the last 7 years. And for us, it's fun to have rivalries in soccer, because especially in high school sports, because it makes the game fun for the players, it makes it fun for the parents and the fans that come to watch.
Did Jamal at all, explain how big this matchup is? I mean, of course, if you look at the history between this, Darius, I mean, this, is your first year, like you just said. But, looking at the history of this, I mean, both you guys and Williamson has played in the Gold Cup 4 times, faced each other 3 of them. Did Jamal kind of reiterate, what this means? Could you sense some added meaning to this game in his eyes?
Oh, yes. I mean, the day before the game, we talked to the girls about how this win will impact the program and how it impact their confidence going forward into the district tournament. So we knew we had a chance to win because we have a good team, and we told the girls we've been in this situation before and we've lost to this team before, so we did not want to lose to them again. And I thought the girls sensed that from day one, and they came out ready to play. We're happy to come out with the victory.
Yeah, without a doubt. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Today's Current Sports, I'm chatting with Darius Ward, who is the DeWitt Girls Soccer Assistant Coach. Now, Darius, you guys have all now embarked on postseason play. It is that time of the year. In your quest for a deep run in the Division II state tournament, you started off pretty well yesterday, a 12-0 win over Lansing Eastern. What makes this Panther team so dangerous, Darius?
I think it's the collective and cohesion of the group. I think the girls know that we have talent, but they also know that in order to go far in a deep tournament, you gotta have passion, you gotta work hard, and you gotta stick together. And I think our freshman class is very good. Our sophomore class is very strong as well. But I think the group that is gonna take us, to where we want to go is gonna be our seniors, who we have about 9 of them, and they are very good players, but, it starts with them leading by example and taking this team where we want to go.
And now, Darius, you talk about those 9 seniors. What seniors out of that 9, out of that bunch of 9, have really stepped up and really proven to be leaders on this team?
It's very difficult. As a coach, I don't like to single out players because
right.
I think, especially in soccer, where, it's also a team sport for me, but if I'm pressed to say, definitely, Jenna Krause, Abigail Cook, and Courtney Wood, and another girl who's been hurt all season, Natalie North, who's been hurt all season with ACL injury, but she's been in practice every day and you know, giving the girls her support and just being there for them. So.
Oh, you gotta love that. I always love that. The players who, even though they may not be participating out there on the field, they may be hurt or for other reasons, still there for supporting that team every practice. I gotta love that. Now, tomorrow, right? You guys will be playing East Lansing, right?
Yes, sir. East Lansing at 7 p.m. at Mason.
That's at Mason High School. Now, how difficult? Because I looked at the schedule. I took a peek at the schedule before I took the air, and you guys have not played East Lansing all year. How difficult is it to prepare for a postseason game, you know, in the thick of things right now? You're trying to go deep in the tournament. How difficult is it to prepare for a postseason game like this against a team that you haven't seen all season?
Well, I think as a coach, Coach Jamal does a great job of focusing on our team. We don't usually talk much about other teams because I think sometimes when you focus too much on the other team and what to do or what they're good at and what they aren't good at, you tend to, especially for young players, they tend to, you know, forget about what they have to do on the field. So we just have to practice well today and show up to play tomorrow and knowing that, you know, if we win, we go forward. If we lose, you know, our season is over.
Wow, I tell you, the heat is on, Darius. Again, what time is that? And at Mason High School, right?
Yeah, at Mason High School at 7 p.m.
7 p.m. Got to love that. DeWitt and East Lansing, they will go at it, folks. Now, you know, Darius, I got to ask this too, because, you know, working with Coach Jamal was one of the first coaches that I ran into when I was an intern at Channel 6 News, you know, interning there, trying to get my foot wet in this whole sports reporting business. And, you know, he's such a legendary figure around here when it comes to the game of soccer and girls soccer in this area. What have you learned so far? You know, this is your first year with Coach Jamal. What have you learned from him since you joined the program?
Well, what I've learned that he loves soccer. He loves working with young people. He definitely loves DeWitt. He's been there for a lot of years, and actually, on Tuesday he got his 300th win with the girls program. So I mean, that's
special
special accomplishment there. So
yesterday was his 300th win.
Yes, with the girls program.
Wow, that's unbelievable stuff, man. Now is he a hard nosed guy? Because he seems pretty chill and laid back when I've seen him on the sidelines.
Yeah. He's very calm on the sideline, but he's very demanding as well. He and I have the same personality. We are very calm on the sideline, but in practice and before the games, we tell the girls exactly what we want to see. And if we don't see it, you know, then we make changes. But you know, he's very demanding as a coach. He knows what kind of soccer he wants to play, and it's mostly possession based. And the girls, you know, the girls have that mentality as well. So it's good to be working with him and to be working with the girls.
Oh, that's great stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, again, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, I'm chatting with Darius Ward, the DeWitt Girls Soccer Assistant Coach. Now, you know, Darius, you have quite the soccer background, my brother. Played on the MSU Soccer Club team for years. You coached for the TNT Dynamite Soccer Club, which we'll explain what that is in just a little bit. And been playing most of your life. I mean, where did your passion for this game begin?
Well, I was born in West Africa, Liberia, and I started playing soccer when I was about 5. You know, in my country or, you know, in other countries in the world, you know, soccer or football is definitely the number one sport in my country. So from day one, that's the first game I was introduced to, and I started playing. And when I came to the United States, I kept playing. And now that I'm not playing anymore, I'm enjoying coaching. I'm enjoying sharing my passion with young people. And through TNT, I've been lucky to coach some of the best players in the area. TNT is obviously one of the biggest travel club teams in the area, and we produce great players and you know for all the high schools in the area. So I've just been blessed to be, you know, around the game and share my thoughts and passion with young people.
Oh, that's great stuff. Now, Darius, you, like you said, I mean, you were born in Liberia, and of course, you know, overseas, I mean, soccer is the most popular game out there. You know, in the States, is totally different. I mean, football runs the world, which that's a different type of football. That's football, I should say. And then, you know, basketball. I mean, everybody watches the NBA and baseball, of course, America's great pastime. Was it shocking to you, you know, coming from Liberia to the United States, was it shocking at all to you to see how soccer wasn't that sport?
Oh yeah, it's definitely shocking because in other countries, especially in Brazil, who's going to host the World Cup this summer, soccer is life. You know, in some countries, soccer is life, and in this country, as you mentioned before, you know, football and basketball, you know, and baseball is life to Americans here. So I was definitely surprised, but I'm very happy the game is growing. I mean, if you look at the numbers of kids playing soccer now, it's definitely bigger than when I first came here, and I've been happy to be a small part of you know helping that transition, and I'm very happy to keep going forward and helping the game grow.
And Darius, I'm curious. I mean, how did you end up here in the States?
Well, my mother was here. She came here in '97, and I came here in 2003. She applied for me to come here, so definitely joining her here has been fantastic.
Oh, that's great stuff. Now, you know, like you said, Brazil will be hosting the World Cup. The World Cup coming very soon. I don't watch much soccer, but when the World Cup comes around, I'm glued to my TV. It's a great, great event. June 12th. Oh, I love it, man. June 12th, to be exact. I mean, how big is the World Cup in exposing the game to Americans?
Oh, it's the biggest sporting event, I think, in the world. And everyone, when I remember my first World Cup, I could really understand. I was 7, and I mean, it was great, you know, just being around people who love the game and people who want to watch and cheer for their country and you know, and support the game. I mean, soccer is definitely getting big in the U.S. and having a World Cup, having, you know, talking soccer with my players in the summer and telling them to watch the games and learn from the professional. I think it's very good. It's a great way to group the game for kids.
Yeah, yes, it certainly is. And for you, Darius, like I said, I love the World Cup because it's so, I mean, the fans are going crazy. The atmosphere is through the roof. And for you, I mean, looking at the different teams that will be competing this year in the World Cup, I mean, who do you think is going to win it? Who's the favorite? I'm pretty sure you stay glued to the international scene as well. I mean, who do you like in this year's World Cup?
Well, my top three, of course, is I have to pick Brazil because they're at home and that crowd, their fans are going to be, you know, singing from start to end for them. I think Germany is my second favorite, and I have to go with Spain because Spain is a very talented group. They won the last World Cup in South Africa, so I have to go with them.
Oh, gotta love that. So you think Spain's gonna win it all?
No, I think my first option is Brazil.
Brazil, okay.
Second, and Spain in third. Those are my top three favorites.
That was a very politically correct answer right there, Darius. I like that. I like the smart man. Now, before I let you go, Darius, you know, again, I brought up Lansing United because it's a, like, this is the first time this area has seen a minor league soccer team right here in mid-Michigan. I mean, how cool is it for you? And what did you think when you first heard about Lansing United getting his start here in Lansing?
Well, I think it's a great opportunity for you know, college players, players who are just coming out of college and even kids. You know, we have a lot of our TNT kids and a lot of the my high school, you know, boys and girls who went to the game to support the Lansing United players. I have, you know, one or two friends playing on that team, and to have a team in the area is, I think, it's great for the game, especially for the young kids who want to, you know, play the next level.
Is it tougher to go that route, you know, to play minor league soccer and try to, you know, make a professional dream out of the sport, taking that route, Darius?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's tough on any level to make it to the professional game. It's tough, but I think the fact that we have a minor league team is another avenue to get to the level. You know, if you want to be on a professional level, is another avenue. And I think it'll be good for soccer in the area.
Gotta love that. All right. Well, Darius Ward, DeWitt Girls Soccer Assistant Coach. Again, the DeWitt Girls team, they will take on East Lansing tomorrow in their quest for a state championship, folks. That'll be at Mason High School, 7 p.m., right, Darius?
7 p.m. I hope all the fans come out, and I hope our girls and put on a good performance.
Gotta love that. Hey, good luck moving forward, and thank you for joining me today, Darius.
Thank you so much for having me, man. I appreciate all what you guys do for soccer in the area and sports in general.
Hey, you the man. Thanks a lot. We appreciate you coming on to talk about it.
All right, thanks, Al.
All right.
Good day.
Take care. You too, bud. All right, ladies and gentlemen, well, let's hit the first break of the show. When we come back, we are going to get right to it. Barbershop Wednesday. Should the Pistons be in downtown Detroit? Don't go anywhere. We return in just a sec. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, now joined by Alex Sharg and Matt Luckey. Well, let's dive right into our Barbershop Wednesday topic for today. And I want to say thank you, Matt, for shooting me this because I don't know how this story eluded me over the weekend. I believe it was broke. I'm looking here, the article you sent me. You sent me this actually yesterday on your day off. Matt never stops working, folks. He shot me this on his day off yesterday about Stan Van and Cleveland Cavaliers owner Dan Gilbert. I believe this was, I guess he made these remarks Saturday, I want to say. The article says May 24th. So it was interesting because, you know, folks, if you don't know, Stan Van responded to Dan Gilbert, who made some comments on 95.5 FM's Mojo in the Morning radio show in the D. And, you know, if you know anything about Dan Gilbert, you know, he's been, you know, and I used to, you know, when I'm back home and watching, you know, the news in Detroit, I saw this story a few years back, actually, about Dan Gilbert trying to do some renovations in the city of Detroit and just get it back economic to the point that it was back, you know, 20 or 30 years ago, which is it's a tall task because we all know the city of Detroit does not have a great reputation right now. And there's a lot of things that need to be done and changed. And those changes are happening. Now, Dan Gilbert has some invested interest, as I just said, in that regard. So he goes on Mojo in the Morning and makes, just to read a few quotes here from that interview, he makes these comments. Quote, "If you're going to convince someone like that, and I've said it to him, long-term for business reasons, that's not a viable place that you're going to have long-term successful profitable venture. People want entertainment, a whole night of it, a whole experience. This is Dan Gilbert on the radio show talking about the Pistons and whether or not, why they aren't in the city of Detroit, I should say. Quote, Detroit doesn't have an NBA team because they're somewhere 30 miles north of here, right? They're in Auburn Hills, right? So, then he went on to say this. Now that Sacramento is building an arena downtown, they're the only one, the Pistons, not in an urban core. The only one, it's really not good business. It's nothing against Auburn Hills, Oakland County, or L. Brooks Patterson. An arena in the middle of a field is not an ideal thing." So those were Dan's comments. And Stan Van decided to weigh in on them after hearing them. And he actually went on 105.1 FM in Detroit, sports radio down there, and said, quote, "Dan Gilbert has some selfish interest for saying what he said. I think we know what those are. Finally, I think he has enough to worry about with his own team than worrying about us," end quote. So that's kind of the gist of things, kind of give you guys a summary of why we're talking about this here on today's show. I'm sure it's an argument that many of you may have had in conversations with your buddies and friends about this. I know I have. And I'm curious to get Matt and Alex's thoughts, and we want to get your thoughts on this as well. We're opening up our phone lines right now, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Guys, I guess I'll start this conversation by saying, you know, again, this isn't a new conversation, and I've definitely had talks, you know, with friends of mine, family members of mine, as to why, just why Detroit, you know, hasn't made its home in downtown Detroit, the only pro sports team in the city of Detroit to not be in the city of Detroit. For me, I definitely see a lot of benefits with it. You know, I can see where Dan Gilbert is trying to go with this argument. It could definitely help with branding, without a doubt. I mean, when you have just your entire core of professional teams in one spot, I mean, it makes it easier, I guess, for, you know, the fans who are within the city of Detroit to get to games. It could possibly, you know, with the, you know, looking at the Pistons, you know, these past few years, I mean, they've just been so bad. Could possibly boost attendance. I don't know how much that would be. I mean, because Auburn Hills, let's face it. I mean, making that drive for me, you know, living on the west side of Detroit, making that drive, it is, it's about like a 20, 25-minute drive. It's not like, you know, downtown where I can drive 10 minutes downtown and go see a game. Some people have to go out their way to go there. And it is kind of in the middle of nowhere. I mean, in a big field, really nothing really down there in Auburn Hills. The only reason I go to Auburn Hills is to watch the Pistons, period. And, you know, possibly, you know, with it being downtown, it's a highly populated area, downtown Detroit. If people are bored or need something to do on a Saturday, Friday night, hey, go to a Pistons game and watch them, you know. And Lord knows, looking at those stands this past season and these past few years, it's been brutal to look up in those stands and see just nobody. I mean, it looks, I hate to say this, it looks like a WNBA game. It looks bad. It looks bad up in there. And right now, back in the, you know, what this comes down to is that for me, I don't think that the Pistons need to be downtown Detroit. And I'll say this. If you look back in the glory days of the early 2000s, you know, when the Pistons were really starting to win, you know, win the Central Division championships and get close to, you know, to possibly, you know, breaking that barrier to being a legit championship contending team, and they finally did in 2004. I mean, you look up in those stands, you didn't hear any complaining. I mean, people were coming to the games because this team was winning, period. Winning, to me, solves everything. Even going back to the Silver Dome days when the Pistons made their home there, the Bad Boys, of course, played there. I mean, you look at those tapes back in the 80s during the Isaiah Thomas and Joe Dumars days. Those stands were packed to watch the Pistons. And I always go back to this, too, because a lot of people forget this, I think, guys. The Pistons were downtown for a number of years. You know, you have to go way back. But they actually played at Cobo Arena. Now, Cobo Arena is not the, you know, it's not like the Cobo is the Palace or something like that, but they're still downtown. The team only turned in 3 winning seasons out of the 18 that they were there. They were lucky to get 10,000 on a good night. So for me, it comes down to, yes, it would be great to have this team downtown. It would definitely, you know, bring some another added venture for people to go downtown and enjoy sports. It would be great for Detroit Pistons branding. Yes, I see all that. But they've invested so much money into the Palace now, so much money, that it's hard to go back and say, okay, let's redo this thing and try to get a home downtown. And right now, it's not a guarantee for me, because I think when the Pistons are winning, people are still going to come out to those games in Auburn Hills. So for me, it's not a need, if you will. I started with that, guys.
No, Al, you pretty much took the words right out of my mouth in that would it be cool if the Pistons move back, you know, downtown Detroit? Absolutely. I'm in full support of that. But do they need to? No. It is not totally necessary. I mean, and it's not like they're the only sports franchise who doesn't play in the city that's on their jerseys. You know, like the Dallas Cowboys play in Arlington. They're not going to change their name to the Arlington Cowboys. And that kind of it kind of speaks to how Dan Gilbert has a way of just saying things in almost the smuggest way possible. It's just there's just an element of, I don't even know how to put it, but he has a way of saying things in the least appealing way possible.
Right, right.
It's one thing if he says, wow, it'd be great if the Pistons moved back down to downtown Detroit, but it's not like, oh, you shouldn't call them that because they play, what, 30 miles up the road? It's just the way he says things and the shots he's taking aren't necessary.
Right.
And it just seems like, and like Stan Van Gundy said, he's got his own things to worry about. I mean, I remember last year his big soundbite was, we will not be coming back to the lottery. We're not coming back to the lottery. What happened this year? They win the number one pick again.
Exactly,
so
yeah.
It just seems like he has a way of sticking his foot in his mouth. He's raising it to an art form. So I think as far as the Pistons moving downtown, he can say all these things. That's fine.
Right.
Is it going to change anything? I don't think so. And does it need to happen? No. Because like you said, if they win games, people will go. You know, the AT&T Stadium in Arlington is basically just a giant parking lot with a huge structure in, and people fill that like crazy.
Yep.
If you have a good product, people will come.
Right.
Doesn't matter where you're located. If you have something that people want, they will come to you. So I think that the need for them to move downtown, it's not a need.
No.
It would be a luxury, but at this point, it doesn't seem like they absolutely have to. It's not vital.
Yeah, I agree. Alex, what's your take on this, man?
Yeah, first of all, happy hump day, everybody.
Happy hump day to you, Al. I had to say that. Yeah, happy hump day, man.
Yeah, happy hump day. Second, before I touch on this very quickly, I have to call Al out for a second.
Mm.
Because
what'd
yesterday, when Matt was out, Al and I had a long discussion about the Detroit Tigers and their slump and why there needed to be production from some of their guys, like Avila, like Hunter, like Jackson. And yesterday, look, they pulled out a win.
You might have skinned a teeth. I mean, if it wasn't for that steal, they would have lost the game. Let's be honest.
But the funniest part, Al, is that for not one time yesterday, when you came to who in the bats produces well, did you mention Ian Kinsler?
He's been great. He's having the best season of his career.
But you said word for word, besides Miguel Cabrera and Victor Martinez, those are the only guys that have been great this year.
But Alex, it's only
Ian
one.
Kinsler has been great this year.
Yeah, he's had the best season of his career so far.
That's all I wanted to call you out.
But Alex, it's only one game. They still got two more games in that series.
I wanted to talk about Kinsler because he's been great. Yeah. And we got to give him credit. I think you and I can agree he deserves some credit.
He does. Okay. All right.
But back to this. You guys are obviously right that his self-interests are invested in the statement. And look, Dan Gilbert obviously has a mission to repair Detroit. We obviously salute him for what he has done so far and what he is bringing. However, I think it's a little bit skewed because he said that people want entertainment. People want something to do at night. Does bringing the Pistons mean that that's the end-all, be-all of all entertainment in Detroit? Because that's what he's saying here. He's saying by moving the Pistons to Detroit, it's going to make that big a difference when it comes to helping the city of Detroit and entertainment. You're not saying that three sports teams, including the new moving that's going to happen with the Red Wings, that's not good enough? What is one more sports team going to severely change with the entertainment sector of Detroit? Does the world evolve around sports? I mean, us being sports guys, we might like to think that, but is that necessarily true? I don't think so. I think there are many other ventures you can look into if you're an entertainment venturist in Detroit to bring money and to bring people to the city other than a sports team.
I think you're right. And I mean, all you have to do is look back when the Lions moved from the Silverdome to Ford Field.
Right.
I mean, sure, it helped. It breathed life into Detroit, but it breathed life into a tiny, tiny portion of Detroit. It's not like it saved the city. And I don't think the Pistons would do the same thing either. I think it's just it's a nice thing. And I guess it'd be cool to have them all kind of centrally located like that. But at the end of the day, it's not going to be this, you know, flip of the switch and all of a sudden Detroit is back and booming. It seems like, yeah, it'd be cool, but to pin, you know, the entertainment sector and all that stuff on the Pistons is ridiculous.
That's right.
It's just kind of inflammatory, and that seems like Dan Gilbert's style when he's making comments.
Yeah,
like
and you know what? Another thing we have to keep in mind when I looked at this argument, guys, is that right now, I mean, the Pistons have invested so much money into the Palace. I mean, that organization has dumped a lot of moolah into the Palace. It's a state-of-the-art, beautiful, beautiful venue. And, you know, from the restaurants, I think they just built a new restaurant on the side of it now and redid that. I mean, they've invested a lot of money. And to just up and just move like that, I mean, what happens to the Palace? You know what I mean?
I was going
to
say, it just becomes a concert venue.
Exactly. It just becomes a concert venue and it's kind of going to waste. I hope it doesn't come with another Pontiac Silverdome, which we'll get to in a minute. But, I mean, another thing is, Dan Gilbert, I think that Stan Van Gundy hit it right on the head in his comments when he talked about how Dan Gilbert has selfish interest for saying what he said, which is possibly, I could see that. But he definitely has invested interest in this because Dan Gilbert is pretty much, he's dumping a lot of money into downtown right now to bring a different vibe to Detroit and to, you know, clean up buildings. He's dumping a lot of moolah and has some invested interest into the city of downtown Detroit. And he believes as though bringing the Pistons will bring more moolah and possibly put more moolah in his pocket at the end of the day. So we have to also keep that in mind. He's speaking solely from a businessman standpoint on this as well. And I always keep that in context. And we all know Dan Gilbert, who is a billionaire, I mean, he's all about moolah at the end of the day.
Yeah, and it's just odd to see an owner of one NBA team trying to influence the operation of another NBA team.
Right,
it
exactly.
It just seems like, take care of your own
take
stuff.
Take care of
it's
house,
not like
man.
The Cavaliers are.
Cavaliers are terrible.
Yeah, a sterling franchise in the NBA. They can't keep a coach for a year. So it's just,
right.
It's just odd. And it kind of fits with his MO over the last few years.
Yeah,
everybody,
it definitely does.
Flash now. Detroit needs to be saved. Move the city or else. move the Pistons, yeah, or else the city will fall.
No, it's not a need.
That's kind of in a joking manner what it sounds like.
Right.
It's saying, like Matt said, if you don't move the Pistons, somehow the city of Detroit is not going to end up.
No. And I'll tell you what, I took a trip downtown over the weekend, and Detroit is definitely on the up and up right now. There are some things, you know, being moved and a lot of construction down there happening right now. Detroit is on the up and up right now. I'm pleased at where it's headed.
And from a fan's perspective, we didn't even touch about this. Where was the only championship made? At the Palace. When the Pistons were down in Detroit before, they weren't winning. So aside from that, your only place that you've actually won is the Palace.
And the Silverdome.
And the Silverdome, yeah.
And the Silverdome, the 80s, outside of Detroit.
Right.
So from a fan's perspective, you wonder, well, let's just keep them there. I mean, who knows? I mean, we talked about curses the other day, if they're real or not, but maybe that's going to be a curse if they move back.
Yeah, so we'll see how this pans out, but I don't see the Pistons moving anytime in the future. But again, you can weigh on this. Facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. Tweet me at Al Martin, WKR, and a few of you actually did. Phil says they should, but the Palace is still pretty much brand new. I think they should alternate and then fully move back eventually. Thank you. That's Phil Cosby. I like that Twitter name, brother. And let's see. At AKT says, quote, they absolutely should be in Detroit, but I doubt it will ever happen because the owner of the Pistons also owns the Palace. So there you have that. Again, you can weigh in on this. Tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Go on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Call us at 517-355-9527. We're going to hit the second break. When we come back, we'll talk about an athletic venue that is just quite the opposite of the Palace of Auburn Hills. It's in ruins right now. The Pontiac Silver Dome and its demise, I should say. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Well, we just finished talking about, if the Pistons should be in downtown Detroit and should move from the Palace of Auburn Hills. The Palace, a gorgeous venue if you've ever been there. It's a great place to watch a basketball game. The only thing is the Pistons are terrible. Now, on the other side of things, you have the Pontiac Silver Dome. Now, if you've been reading a lot of articles or have been on the internet and, you know, looked at pictures of how the Pontiac Silver Dome looks right now, it's pretty disheartening. You know, looking at how this athletic venue was really a treasure in the state of Michigan. And now, I mean, it's got some flooding issues. You got grass growing on the turf and in other areas of the venue. The roof is torn in shambles right now. They're actually auctioning off seats and other parts of the building, before it totally gets revamped and demolished. Who knows what's going to happen to it? But it's just really sad, guys, because, you know, this is a place that, you know, this is the home that Barry built. I mean, everybody, you know, has made, a trip, you know, at one time or another, you know, diehard Lions fans to go see Barry play in the 90s. I mean, you know, and then you had, you know, things like such as the Super Bowl. A lot of people forget that. The Super Bowl was there. WrestleMania 3 was there. Pope John Paul II actually made a trip down there. It was a treasure, you know, and people really enjoy going to watch an event at the Pontiac Silver Dome. And, you know, it's really sad because, you know, now this is a place that, you know, it was once relished and is now, we don't know what's going to come of it. And it kind of reminds me, really, of Detroit's demise over the years. You know, downtown Detroit's demise over the years. How the leadership, whoever was in charge of it, when you talk about Detroit, we know who was in charge of that. The leadership there with the city council and the mayor and so on and so forth over the years just didn't care. And I think that's exactly what happened in this case, too. I mean, it's been abandoned now since, 2012. And no one's really taken over it to say, okay, we need to treasure this great piece of work. And it's really sad. If anything is sad, it's really upsetting for me because it was once a place that was revered throughout this entire nation.
Yeah, I mean, it hosted a Super Bowl.
Exactly.
I mean, you can't say that about a lot of places. And to me, it just seems like either you figure out something to put in there or you just pull the plug and take it down. Mm-hmm. Because what's going on now is worse than if it was gone forever. I think just seeing it kind of rot from the inside out like it is, you just can't have it. There's too much history there. It meant too much to the city. There are too many iconic moments happened there to just let it fall by the wayside like it has. I think you have to either kind of, you know, put it out of its misery, so to speak, or figure out a way to revamp it, breathe life into it, have something happen there that will bring people in and make it a viable venue once again. But honestly, it kind of seems like its time has come.
Yeah, it seems. Have you ever been to the? Oh, did yeah. you ever go oh, yeah. back oh, in yeah. the day to,
back
to
in
see
the
Barry play?
Late in the 90s.
Wow. See, that was my very first football game to go see Barry Sanders play at the Pontiac Silverdome. I will never forget it, even though I was about, like, how old was that? My goodness, that was a while ago. Man, like maybe like 5. I still remember that moment, though. And, you know, it's terrible. Alex, you ever been down there? Man, you ever made a trip when you were a little man?
Absolutely, all the time. And like Matt said, if there is something to put in there, what can you put in there? Thinking
yeah, I
about
don't know.
It.
I have no idea.
And
no
especially, it's kind of like for those people that live in East Lansing or that are in the mid-Michigan area, it's kind of like when you go down Grand River by Abbott and you see on the other side of Abbott, there's a string of buildings just sitting there. And year after year, you wonder, well, what could go in there? Why isn't there anything in there? And
where is this at on Abbott? You said
right across the street from Conrad's on Abbott Street. There's a string of buildings right on Grand River between Bigby and Abbott, a string of buildings.
I've been sleeping over there.
That's
okay.
Just been non-developed, just been sitting there for years.
Yeah.
And every year there's always a thing about people in business trying to make something out of it and investing money in it. But the reason is because it's so much of a project to begin with, and there's so much upkeep, and there's things with the land that they don't want to take the risk. For me, it's the same thing with the Silverdome here. It's not that people don't understand the historic landmark side of it, or they don't understand the potential that it could have, or that they don't. It's not that people don't think that that building could not harvest anything. It's the risk factor. It's the fact that it's outside of Detroit. It's a building that didn't work before. There's things with the upkeep of it that haven't been great for the past couple of years. It's just a project, and someone like Gilbert, who has enough capital or who can't afford to cost something or risk something like that, those are the only people that can make an impact on that.
Yeah, and, you know, honestly, seeing as though it's been abandoned for, you know, since 2012 and looking at the pictures, I mean, the place, it's going to take a lot of money to do anything with that venue. And another thing, it's in Pontiac now. You know, I think it's had its day. That area has had its day when it comes to sports and entertainment, I guess, with the Pontiac Silverdome being there. I mean, they had so many events there. If anything, you got to feel for Pontiac because now what do they have, you know? And you know, to see a venue like this just be totally just ruined and knowing the history behind it, I mean, it's tough. I think, honestly, they're just going to tear it down. I mean, they're already, you know, auctioning off seats and you know, wall parts of the wall to people online and whatnot. It's going to be torn down, but I don't know what in the world. That's a lot of space. I don't know what in the world you put there. So it's really sad. Again, if you've ever taken a trip down to the Pontiac Silverdome, we would love to get your memories just being down there, man, just to kind of pay homage to it. It's such a historic venue here in the state of Michigan. You can go to facebook.com/currentsports and also tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. All right, really briefly, guys, to wrap up the show. Boy, oh boy, we have a series finally in the NBA. And hey, my Canadians are kind of holding on too right now. They had an impressive win over New York yesterday. But, you know, what a game. What a game for the Thunder. You know, this is a Spurs team who, looking at the beginning of this series, we were saying, okay, this might be a wrap pretty early. And all of a sudden, Russell Westbrook just starts playing out of his mind. He had 40 points. 5 steals. These are 2K14 type numbers, folks, on your PlayStation. 40 points, 5 steals, 10 assists, 5 rebounds. So he goes 40, 5, 5, and 10. I think that's the first time it's happened since Michael Jordan, I was reading. Durant throws up 31. And oh, by the way, Russell Westbrook, he only had 3 turnovers throughout that entire game. 7 total for the Oklahoma City Thunder as a team. Serge Ibaka has come back. Breathe life into this squad. I mean, it's unbelievable to watch, man. You hit it, I think, nail it right on the head. I mean, you were declaring this team. I think everybody would have declared the Thunder dead if it wasn't for Serge Ibaka. And shout out to Kerry Hilson, who gave him the advice to go out there and play, and he did it.
Yeah, it's all Ibaka. because they're a different team without him. They just do not have anyone who can handle the Spurs inside. I mean, Steven Adams is a fine rookie, but he's not there yet. He adds another dimension to both their offense and defense. I mean, they outscored the Spurs 21-0 in fast break points.
Yeah, unbelievable.
I mean, that's a huge advantage to have in any game, let alone in, you know, a pivotal game of a playoff series. And just how rudderless they looked without him in the first two games. And I know people are going to compare it to 2012 when, you know, the Spurs had a 2-0 lead. The Thunder roared back and had four straight wins and took the series in six.
Yeah.
It now starts to seem like that might happen, but by no means was that going to happen if Serge Ibaka does not come back. They would not have lasted five games.
No, not at all. It was over.
Now the onus is back on San Antonio. We'll see what happens in Game 5 when they go back to San Antonio. But I think you have to give the edge to the Thunder because it just kind of looks like, again, it took them a few games, but now they kind of realize their athletic superiority. I mean, Russell Westbrook can do things that no other point guard in the league can do.
He's so quick. He can shoot. He can drive. I mean, he's unbelievable.
And he's starting to play defense.
Right.
He's a gambler. He's always been a gambler.
Right.
But if he can, you know, somewhat limit Tony Parker, somewhat limit Manu Ginobili,
right,
the Thunder are pretty tough to beat, especially in this series. And if they advance, it's going to be tough for the Heat, or I guess the Pacers, but I don't think they're going to do anything.
No.
It's going to be tough for the Heat to match up with the Thunder, too. They are a dangerous team, as dangerous as any left in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, they're making my pick at the beginning of the season look genius right now. If they keep it up, it's still the Spurs you're playing, and Greg Popp is certainly going to make some adjustments. It was pretty interesting seeing how Tim Duncan, I don't know if you saw Tim Duncan get into it with Popp last night. They went at it for, you know, at least about 10 or 15 seconds there.
That's Ibaka. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Duncan couldn't do anything.
He couldn't guard him. And, you know, that's the thing. Ibaka opens up so much for guys like Durant and Westbrook because if you have that interior presence down low, and we saw it last night, Ibaka, he had three blocks last night down low. He had eight rebounds. He was sort of a cleanup man. And how about Kendrick Perkins also stepping up? He had 10 rebounds to go with that as well, had a block shot. Those guys, when they're down low doing damage, it allows, you know, the Spurs have to collapse down there, and it starts to allow things to happen on the perimeter. And we all know that, you know, Kevin Durant, league MVP, Westbrook, and even guys like Reggie Jackson, who, you know, he went out early, though, with that sprained ankle. But still, it allows guys like that to get out and really make it a series. So,
yeah. And one last thing to add, every team needs a storyline, some turning point. And we spoke about some turning points with some other teams, but for me, the return of Serge is that turning point. When the Pistons got Rashid for their championship run, that was the turning point. For me, we'll see what happens, and let's hope that you're looking like a genius here, Al. But for me, I think this was the big turning point for the Thunder.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest here. Who wouldn't want to see Kevin Durant go against LeBron James in the finals, too? I mean, I would like to see the Spurs in the Heat round two again, but still, I mean, that's... And those are the two best players in the game right now going in. I love that. All right. Well, we're out of time, ladies and gents. I want to thank Darius Ward, who is the assistant coach for the DeWitt girls soccer team. And thank you for joining me, Darius. Good luck as you guys move on this season. And I would be remiss if I didn't bring this up. If you guys don't know, the legendary Maya Angelou, a voice revered globally for her poetic command and her commitment to civil rights, she has fallen silent. She passed away today. Rest in peace, Maya Angelou. You will definitely be remembered. All right, folks, we're out of time. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKRE East Lansing. As always, take care, have a fantastic hump day, and be easy, people.